But how many times do we get up and just tell the Lord, say unto him, Lord, your grace is so amazing. It's so amazing. Blows our minds. You ever been just mind-boggled by the things of God?
Yes.
Yeah. It's good to be that way. It's good. So we should be. I'm thankful for his made grace. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Chris, so very much. Turn to Matthew 18 this morning. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Let's just read a few verses from Matthew 18 this morning, a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture, as are all of the passages therein in the Word of God, of course. Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy Word this morning. The words will also be on your screen. And Jesus is teaching here, of course. And this is what he says, Matthew 18, starting with verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This morning, as we continue our series of messages entitled The Ecclesia Doing It Right, is the overall series. This is the 10th message. We've been talking about the saints of God, the saints at Riverside. This morning's message in particular is from roll call to honor roll. From roll call to honor roll. Father, we thank you for your word. Touch us now immensely with it, intensely with it, and make us what we need to be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. You know, records of church membership are a biblical thing. Some would argue with you there and say, well, there's no such thing as having a church role in the Bible. Well, I mean, it's not tremendously emphasized. It's not very clear. But of course, we do know that records of church membership are a biblical thing. We find those references all throughout the Scripture. We find it in the book of Acts, the book of Philippians, Hebrews, Revelation, and even back in Exodus. In the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 33, this is not on your screen, will not be on your screen, but the Scripture says, as God says there, whoever sins, I'll blot that name out of my book. So we know that God has a book. So from God's perspective, keeping an account and a role is important. Well, when the church first began there in Acts 2:41 on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Well, numbers are people, right? So a record was kept, and they continue to be kept. Philippians 4:3, Paul mentions that there were some names in the book of life. There's that book again. God keeps a record. Hebrews 12:23 speaks of the church and the firstborn being written in heaven. Then Revelation 3, Jesus is scolding the church at Sardis. And he says, if you overcome, though, I will not blot your name out of the book. Revelation 13:8, Jesus refers to those that are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, or the Lamb's book of life. So several times there, we find references in the Scripture, Old and New Testaments, about keeping a record. The Old Testament has all of its begats. We know that. And Nehemiah, of course, is a book that has much to say about lists and a register. Now, the begats, of course, in certain parts of the Old Testament, pretty much inundate whole sections of Scripture about this person begetting this person and this person begetting this person and so forth. And it goes on. That list of names was important. In Nehemiah 7, we read about the list of exiles with numbers also given. We read also about a register that was found. In Nehemiah 11 and 12, the priests and the Levites were kept on record, and the list goes on. So we do know that it's clear in God's word that roles of God's people are significant. Now, church roles are people. Every name on the church roll is a person. They are saints of God, supposedly saved and called out of the world and put into the body of Christ. You see, a church roll is a way of organizing the organism. It's a way of doing that. We find that church roles are tools of accountability, ways of keeping up with and keeping people accountable to God. Now, we, of course, have church roles. We have a church role here at Riverside. We have a directory. It was last done in 2019, so pretty soon we'll have to do another one because things change, right, over time. And sometimes very quickly, all of these babies being born, we certainly need another church directory. But of course, this doesn't have everybody on the church role in it. There's another role elsewhere. Let's just let this today represent our church role. There are about 194 pictures or people pictured here, and about 78 names given. I may have miscounted that one. I did it quick. But anyway, so a lot of people are in here. This is our church roll. So there's much more than that 278 figure who would be on our church roll. And everybody in here, picture or not, is not necessarily on the church roll. But the church roll is rather large, especially compared to our attendance this morning or any given Sunday morning. Now, we also have the Riverside Deacon families, these books that are put together. Mary's put this together for this year. And of course, we only have 7 deacons this year. We usually have 9, but we have 7 this year. And each deacon is given approximately 17 families or so. Now, if we multiplied that out, that would probably be about 119 families. And again, we look around and we see not even quite a third of that number here this morning, because we certainly have more than that, or the closer to the 119. But if you have 119 families, and if you just say that an average family is that of 3 people, which we know that some families are larger and some families are even smaller. Sometimes it's just one person, sometimes just a couple. But if we say that the average is 3, then we have way over 350 people there. So certainly we would have, or the deacons do have, over 350 people that they are to minister to. And again, we have probably a third of that or less this morning here. So church roles are a way of organizing the organism itself, the church being the organism. So church roles are good things. Church roles are godly things. But understand this, that the saints at Riverside, and we're talking about the saints at Riverside, go way beyond the gathered here this morning or on a regular basis, and also include those who are scattered, who are not here, and perhaps have not been here. We know, and we've talked about this several times, we know that the visible church are all of those on the church rolls. And sometimes even beyond that, because sometimes people come and they're not on the roll. We know that. But we know that the visible church are all of those on the church rolls. But the true church are those that God knows about, even those that we do not completely know about. The true church are those whose names are in the book of life. We sang a song just a few moments ago about the roll up yonder, and when it's called, and being there. The true church will be there. But there is a difference, of course, we know, between the visible church and the true church. Now, there may be some, even in this building this morning, who are on the church roll but are not part of the true church. And I pray that God would change that today. Before this service is over, that He would crush your heart and save your soul. But there are those who are out there, as we would call them, the no-shows, who may or may not be a part of the true church, but they're out there, and as far as we know, if their names are on the church roll, we have to assume them to be part of us. Now, our lives as God's people should never, ever be offensive to God. We know that. But our church roles should not be either. We've been talking about saints of God being called out of the world, being disciplined by God to keep us straight. We've been talking about, Logan, the people of God being gifted so that they can serve God faithfully. We've talked about how our position before God is secure, but how sometimes our practice certainly needs revival. But it's not just each individual. It's the conglomerate that we make up. It is the church itself, the local assembly. Those church roles, so to speak, should not be offensive to God. Because it's not just you out there, it's also them out there as well. Not you in here, I should say, but them out there as well. That would be considered part of the church, or at least the visible church. Now, would we compare this right here, church roll, when we compare this to that, there is sometimes, and there is most of the time, a vast difference. Not good. Not good. But when we make that comparison or that contrast, we see that that is the case. And that is the case in many, if not most, Baptist churches. Hence the title this morning, going from the church roll, from or the roll call, to an honor roll. Let's endeavor as God's people, and this is something we all have a part in, let's endeavor, though, to turn our church roles into honor rolls. You ever been on the honor roll? Put your hand down, Steve. You've not been on an honor roll. I really have. I've been there maybe a time or so, but not until I got into college. Didn't care very much until I got into college, and I figured I better start doing something because this really counts, right? It all counted, but you know how you are sometimes. Some people not. My wife, very smart, but I was smart enough to marry somebody smarter than me. So you have to give me some credit, right? But hey, we all know what an honor roll is. And it's good to be on the honor roll. But when you talk about church roles becoming honor rolls, that's something a little different. Because what we desire is for the role that God looks at when He looks at Riverside or any other church, as far as that goes, but let's just talk about Riverside. That's who we are. When He looks at Riverside role, the role of Riverside Baptist Church, is God offended by that? If God's offended, then I want you to know something, that we are to blame, not just them out there that seem to not care, and that seem unconcerned, as we often say. But it's our fault as well. When the contrast is vast, and when there's such a discrepancy between what we have on a regular basis in attendance and our church role, then we must understand that there is fault there, and we are partially at least to blame. We need, as God's people, to biblically and lovingly make our church role an honor roll. That's what we need to endeavor to do. Again, that which honors God. When our attendance begins to match our role, then I believe that we would bring more honor to God. We need to seek to bring back the delinquents, if you will. And if they refuse to come back when all efforts been made to bring them back, then, beloved, they don't belong on the roll anyway. We honor God and we don't offend Him when we seek purity of membership and hold each other accountable. That's how we honor God. That's how we don't offend God. We have the responsibility, yes, to evangelize the lost around us, and we often neglect that responsibility. But we also have the responsibility to restore those who are wayward, those who should be in here but are still not in here, but are out there. And we're not trying to pamper or to do this by pampering people or mollycoddling people, but we want to do it to please God. You see, our first priority is not to please other people, be they lost people or church people or whoever, but it is to, of course, please God. That's our goal, that's our aim, that's our priority. So we need to endeavor then to turn our church roles, which are sometimes this big, and our attendance being this big, we need to turn those church roles into honor roles whereby everybody on there is held accountable. Not just held accountable, but is looked after by one another. That is loved by one another. Not just by the pastor or by the deacons, but by each other. What kind of a church would that be, beloved? Now, I'm not saying we don't do that. We do a good job of loving our own and reaching out to our own, taking care of our own. Thank God for that. But can we do better? I think it's obvious that most churches could do a whole lot better. Maybe every church could do a whole lot better. Now, in Matthew 18, which was our text today, we learned some things that Jesus is teaching here. The first thing, and this all applies to what I'm talking about and what I've said in the introduction here. But he teaches us, Jesus teaches us, first of all, to not despise God's sheep. Don't despise God's sheep. Jesus begins that passage there in verse 10 by talking about not offending or despising, rather, one of these, he says, little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, Jesus here, comparing those who come to Christ as those who are like children who come to Him. He could have been talking about a child here, or He could have been talking about anybody who first comes to Christ. Again, we talked about being a babe in Christ last week. When a person first comes to Christ, he or she is a babe in Christ. And those babes in Christ, they need to be nurtured by those of us who are more mature in Christ, who can help them feast on the milk and progress to the meat of God's Word. So he could be referring to a child or maybe just a child of God who has come into the faith as a child. And he mentions angels here. He says this. He says, I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. These angels are those who guard us. Now, some would say that everybody has a guardian angel or guardian angels. I don't know if there's enough biblical evidence to promote that, but we do know that whether they're assigned to a particular person or not, they're all assigned to do what God tells them to do, and that is to be ministering spirits to us. They are ministering spirits, that is angels, the angels of God, the good angels, the two-thirds that are left and did not fall with Satan, those ministering spirits are sent to minister for and to the saints of God. Now, does God need angels? No. He doesn't need anything. He could do everything by himself. He's almighty and all-powerful. But he chooses, just like he chose to save us. Why did he choose to save us? We fell away from God. We rebelled against God. We sin every day. Why does he love us? You have to ask him that. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to save us. And why he loved us so much blows my mind. He's just a God of love. God is love. And he's all powerful. He doesn't need us for anything. He chooses to use us. Well, he chooses to use angels to do some mighty magnificent things. They're reflections of his power. He's created them. They're much more powerful than we are, but they're different from us. They can't be saved like we can. They don't even understand what it means to be saved. They're looking into it to try to understand it better. But these angels in heaven are those that are sent to guard us. And the way Jesus portrays it here, it's that they are looking at the face of the Father. They just can't take their eyes off the Father. He is so good, so God. And so they're just looking for him just to make some motion for them, for one of them, 10 of them, hundreds, thousands of them, to go do something on this earth to guard us, to protect us. And that does happen, by the way. It does happen. And God sends them to guard us. And so they're watching his face so as to tell when he wants them to go. And I can just see it now, Denton. They just can't wait to go and do for God. Amen? Hey. There it is. Denton pointed that out to me this morning. You hear that? That squeak sound. So if I ever just go down, don't worry, okay? It's just because the wood's weak right there. Okay, enough of that. Anyway, these angels of God are watching God to get the word to go and minister. And he says these angels are guarding God's loved, treasured property, these ministering spirits. And then verse 11 says this, makes it clear that Jesus came to save these people that these angels are sent to often minister to. Jesus came to save them. Now, if there's the thought here of a Jewish person looking down and Jesus was straightening all of this out, and he would continue to even after he was dead, buried, resurrected, and ascended to the Father, because there was a lot of prejudice in the minds of Jews, even those who had gotten saved or supposedly gotten saved because of Judaism and the stronghold that it had, and they just could not seem to break away. It's kind of like tradition today in a Baptist church. When tradition gets built up, it's kind of hard. Even if it's totally unbiblical, it's kind of hard to let that go and break away from it. But these Jews should not have ever looked down on the Gentiles. These Jews should have loved God and loved them who were coming into and who would come into the covenant and not hate them. God teaches us not to hate the despicable. Do you remember Jonah when he went to Nineveh and he preached? Was he happy about the fact that they repented? No. Should he have been? Yeah, should have been. Why would you be mad about somebody coming to Christ? Sometimes we think so much of ourselves, and we're like the Jews were. We think so much of ourselves that we think that some people just don't need to come to Christ. They just need to stay lost and go to hell. And that's not good. We should never despise even the despicable. Do you remember when Jesus, God, let down the sheet of animals and showed them to Peter and said, kill and eat, or rise and kill and eat? And Peter said, not so. I've not put anything unclean in my mouth. And Jesus said, don't you call what I make clean unclean. Now, God wasn't just talking about pulled pork barbecue and catfish, okay? He was really talking about people. Now, I'm thankful that he lets us eat pulled pork barbecue and catfish. Thankful. Very thankful. But he was talking about people. The Jews allowing and loving the Gentiles as they came, not them allowing, because God was the one who allowed them, but accepting them into the faith, which they should have done. And we knew that, and we know that that was a problem, even especially in the days that Jesus walked on this earth, and even after that. But God doesn't want us to despise those that he has chosen to salvation. So we understand that first of all. He loves them. He came to seek and to save them. But we also know this, that sheep go astray. Now, Jesus here was using a comparison here. A comparison of a man who was obviously a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And one of them got lost. Well, he left the 99 or the 99 and he went to look for that lost sheep. Now, that's a good comparison that Jesus makes, and I'm sure he chose it. I would think that he chose it for this purpose, but it's a good comparison because God compares us to sheep in the book of Psalms. We are the sheep of his pasture. We're often, even Jesus did himself, compared us to sheep. We're often compared to sheep. We're the sheep of God's pasture. And of course, we do go astray. Well, the lost need to be saved. We know that. And we know that the lost that are sheep that are going to be saved by God are those who at the present time are those lost sheep that have to be hunted by the great shepherd, but he uses us not just as under shepherds, but as the people of God, the sheep of God, to bring those people into the fold, to reach out to them with the gospel message that Jesus saves. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But also those on our church rolls who are missing in action, so to speak, who lose their way. They are those who've gone astray as well. Not just lost people who've never darkened the door of a church, but those who have once come into the church, who have possibly made a profession of faith, who have joined the church and maybe were active, and now they're gone for whatever reason, missing in action. The other thing that Jesus teaches us is that God cares, so should we. God said that the shepherd went after the one and left the 99 for that one. He went to the mountains to hunt for that sheep, and then he would rejoice when he found that sheep. And then in verse 14, he says it's not the will of God that they should perish. So, in the same way that God cares for these sheep that he does not will for them to perish, we should care for them as well. Care for those who are not just lost that live up and down these valleys, but those that are members of this church that are no longer here. We are not to neglect the reach that God has given us. We're to conform to this passage and others whereby we see Jesus reaching out. We should be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece as we reach out. Don't neglect the reach. We're taught to be like Christ, who reaches way, way down to save us in the first place. He's depicted here as loving and compassionate and outreaching. And we must, in the same way, be in Christ, of Christ, and for Christ as we reach to those strayers, those who have strayed away from God. We must go to the mountains. That's what he said in verse 12. They goeth unto the mountain, or he goeth. We must go to the mountains. How appropriate that would be for us here in Western North Carolina, in Haywood County, and in the Bethel community. How appropriate it would be for us. You know, we are responsible to do that. We're responsible to reach. We are responsible to go to the mountain, so to speak. We need to, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, teaches us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, which says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Then he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We need to apply what he is saying here. In regard to the 18th chapter of Matthew there in our text, the great commentator Matthew Henry alluded to the fact that we should do all that we can to do God's will here in reaching out to lost sheep and nothing to hinder that process. And so Paul speaks to this kind of thing here in Galatians 6. He's speaking about restoration for the one who has sinned against God, the one who has brought reproach upon himself and the church. And I think that delinquency qualifies for such sin. And it is for us to reach out in the Spirit of God to restore those who are out there, because it's not just about, again, the saints in here. It's also about those who are out there that are not here any longer. But we need a plan, and we need a strategy. But in the meantime, there are some things that we all can do. This plan and this strategy should be a part of our vision here at Riverside Baptist Church. What are we going to do about the people out there? Are we just going to let it be? Or are we going to actually do something to reach out to these people? We respond to God in an attempt to establish a true honor roll at Riverside when we reach out in an attempt to bring them back. And there's more to talk about here, and we will go there. But I want to say to you this morning that if you know those who are out there who should be in here, who were once here but are no longer here for whatever reason, and I know you know those people, I would just encourage you today to, in the spirit of love, at least encourage them to be back here with us, to passionately and compassionately say, please come back to be with us. Where have you been? We miss you. I want to say this to you this morning. Those that are on roll but out there are those who now need to be in here. There are those on the roll but are out there who today desperately need to be in here. And if we drop the ball as the church this morning, beloved, we offend God. When we just let that go and say, oh, well, whatever. And the question is, why have we not done this by now? Why have we not cared enough to say, hey, when you got a roll this big and an attendance this big, there's something awfully wrong. I know it's common. I know that probably 90-something percent of Baptist churches have that issue. But that's not acceptable because it's so popular. Why have we not done something? And that convicts all of us. Has there ever been a real attempt to do this at our beloved church? I don't think we really have in 10 years like we should have, because I've been here for that long. And I know that we're to blame. Me, you, all of us. Now, these kinds of statements and questions are very convicting. As we sit here before God, as we stand up before God, as we appear before a holy God, the holy God, certainly they're very convicting. But the question would be for all of us today, for you and for me, are we willing and are we ready to do whatever it takes to reach out? Now, I want to tell you something. When we reach out to those out there whose names are on the roll that have not been reached out to and touched in an appropriate way, when we do that, when we finally say, what have we been doing? It's time to start, and we begin. I want to tell you, it's not going to be comfortable. Because when we truly attempt not to offend God, we will offend other people. And we'll offend people in the church. You know, God has a way of stirring things up. But just, do you just want to be dormant? Let things alone. Let sleeping dogs what? Lie. Well, that's a lie. Wake that dog up and see what the dog, see if that dog will hunt. Amen? Wake him up. So we've got a job to do. And we need to get busy with that. And as we're thinking about making a plan, and there's things in my heart and my mind and have been there for a while to actually try to accomplish this. But as we think about this and pray about this and think about God stirring things up, just say, well, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. And God, I just want to be a tool and a vessel used by you and reach out to these people. Who knows? Next week, we might double the size of what we have in here today. Now, folks, COVID is not the only issue that's kept people out of church. It was that way before COVID. Now, I know that it's done its thing. I understand that. But it's been that way for a long time in most every Baptist church that I know of. But when we truly attempt not to offend God, we will offend others. But are we willing and ready to go that route and to please God, regardless of what that means? Different kind of message this morning, certainly strictly to the church, challenging us in a particular area of reaching out to those who are out there, even comparing them to those lost sheep that Jesus spoke of. So today, will you heed the call upon your heart as Jesus speaks to you, as the Holy Spirit stirs you?